Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. A very cool event happening in our city at Bridgestone Arena this weekend. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Scott Hamilton to the program. Scott, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks.
Awesome.
So good to be on with you guys. Thanks so much for helping me promote this.
Well, so good to have you on. And this has become an annual tradition in our city, the 8th annual Scott Hamilton and Friends Holiday Spectacular coming up at Bridgestone Arena this Sunday. For people who may be unfamiliar with this, tell us what this event is about and what we can expect coming up on Sunday at Bridgestone.
Well, it's about curing cancer. It's about raising money to support research. We've had 88 research programs in the last 10 years that we've partnered in or funded individually, and we've had a lot of success. And it's a great way for the city of Nashville to intimately be involved with the future of cancer treatment options through My Cares Foundation. And as far as the event itself, it's really cool because we're the only people in the world that can do this, which is really remarkable. It's even weird to say that, but it's Olympic, world, and national champion skaters coming in from all over North America to perform in this show to live music. And we have Six Wires, our house band, and they're amazing. They're just the best guys ever. And they're going to be performing with CeCe Winans, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Charles Esten, the Isaacs, who are amazing, and Jason Derlatka, the newest member of Journey. He's become a really cool friend. He did his first ever gig sort of with Jonathan and Neil Sean at our event a few years ago, and he's been an embedded member of Journey ever since. And things like Perry, things like Donny Hathaway, things like, he's just amazing. So we've got a great group of performers all doing Christmas classics, and we even have an original song being performed by some really cool, just next-gen faith leaders who've become friends of our family and who wrote a song especially for this event. It'll be performed on that night. So it's music and skating, and we turn Bridgestone Arena into a theater. And it is, if you've never seen skating live before, you cannot believe the speed, power, explosive nature of these elements, and it's just extraordinary, all done to live music. It's kind of sensory overload. It's funny, I just said to people, and they'll come to me after the event and they'll say, why didn't you tell me? That was unbelievable. I go, yeah, I did tell you, but you just can't understand it until you experience it. And we've just got an extraordinary cast, and we're just so thrilled to be able to present this to the city of Nashville and for Nashville to be sort of a beautiful light of hope for people either living with cancer or, just those that have lost to cancer or, those that want to see it done differently. We only fund immunotherapy research, targeted therapy research. In other words, treat the cancer and spare the patient harm. And we've been doing this for the last 10 years, and it's been really cool to see. I mean, CARES has been around longer than that, but it's been really cool to see how this event has been able to fund the next miracle.
Well, Scott, I got to ask you about your skating. How's that? For people who don't know, of course, Scott, 1984 gold medalist, but the backflip, right, was your thing. Are we still backflipping?
There's going to be a lot of backflipping on that night, and there's a tradition in the finale where I sort of, as sort of the sacrificial lamb, lay down on the red line, and I get backflipped over. So cool thing is it creates a fun moment in the show. If there were any, unfortunate things to happen, I'm such an optimist. At least I get a free appendectomy, So, life is good. We got a bunch of people strapping knives to their feet and doing amazing, beautiful. And this is the first year that we've dedicated it to, you know, be a holiday show, you know, the music of Christmas and the holidays. And we have our overcomers. We call them our overcomers. They're all the Skate to Eliminate Cancer kids that have raised money to perform in the show. And last year they raised over $90,000. I imagine it'll be pretty close to that this year. One of our overcomers is celebrating. He wanted to start skating in our skating academy here with the Predators because he went to one of the shows. And so he became a skater. And this year he's crossed the $50,000 raised mark, just him personally, for this event and cancer research. So lots to celebrate. And it's a great way to usher in Christmas, you know, skating and that soundtrack. And we're just excited to bring in as many people as we possibly can to, you know, partner with us to change the world forever and for the better.
Oh, and again, that event's coming up on Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. And Scott, you know, this has been a very popular event. What's it meant to you personally to see kind of the response to this over the years since you put this together?
Well, everybody that's come, you know, just loves the event, and they and it touches people in a really cool way. And it's funny how we've sort of collected our partners over the years. And, you know, it's like Matt Eisman from American Ninja Warrior. He came to us 2 years ago. He came back last year, and he's coming back this year to help us host. He lost his father to cancer. And, you know, for those who've really lost a dear family member or somebody they just love to this disease, we know this is a solvable problem. We just have to come together and you know, do this together. And you know, Matt Rogers is going to be joining us, the voice of the Titans. You know, he's going to be out there and helping us raise money. So it's just it means a lot to me personally, having lost my mom to cancer. I became a fundraiser, and then 20 years later I survived cancer, and understanding it much better as a survivor. Now I can step into this world more as an activist. And, you know, we are not a silo. We partner with incredible organizations all over the world, basically. And we really do see a day where cancer just becomes a diagnosis that's a treatable disease. We don't have to lose people to cancer anymore. And I see that day in my lifetime, and I'm 66. So, you know, it's like, you know, but we have to come together in events like this and just make it happen. And, you know, we're really trying to extend this event out to the community. If people want to come on board, buy a block of tickets at a deep discount to sell to their raise money for their charities. We really want to bless the community with this event as well. So it's really meant to do good all the way around. And there's no better town in the world, no more giving town in this world than Nashville, Tennessee. And it's just such a cool thing that having been a resident for the last 19 years and just so embedded in the community, the more we could do, the better. And it's remarkable that we're able to do this event. And the Predators have been amazing in partnering with us in this event. And we just are so grateful to them and their leadership. And we just hope to keep growing this event year after year.
Well, Scott, you mentioned it. I mean, you are an overcomer, overcomer multiple times, right? I mean, really. So tell me why immunotherapy, you mentioned earlier, why is that? Tell me why that's personal for you and why that's important to you.
Well, my mom, when she went through her cancer, they threw everything they could at her for 2.5 years, and she had no chance. You know, she was a tough lady, and she was able to survive for those 2.5 years, and then she succumbed because there was nothing for her. My cancer, I had testicular cancer before, you know, it became really cool, you know, because Lance Armstrong and a bunch of other people. But, but you know, Larry Einhorn in Indiana was the research scientist that turned that from 5% survival rates to 95% survival rates. So I was allowed to survive because of research. And, you know, when my mom died, I became a fundraiser. And then when I survived, I became more of an activist. And seeing and being around the cancer community and seeing the promise of an immune response to the cancer, like, we were all in. I just said, this is where we're putting the stake in the ground. And we did. And 3 years later, the first immunotherapy drug hit the market, and it's basically taking our T cells, reprogramming them to look for a certain protein, which masks the cancer cell from the body's immune system. Right now, our bodies are detecting and destroying broken, dead, or mutant cells. And so if we can do that for cancer, and I believe we can, our bodies created the cancer. We should be able to teach our bodies how to detect and destroy it. So for me, that's the miracle of, and there's also really incredible targeted drugs that really will only go after that cell and leave the rest of the body alone. To me, chemotherapy is, you know, sort of a placeholder. It was the best we've had up until now. And we just need to keep moving forward in understanding the genome and understanding, you know, just how our bodies work. And even though they've mapped our DNA, that the immune system is much more complicated. But once they get to that, and, you know, with AI and supercomputing and all the research that's being done, if funded properly, I think we can save countless lives. And just coming out of our involvement here in Nashville and around the country with our Skate to Eliminate Cancer events and the support we get from the NHL and from US figure skating, it's really remarkable that we've been able to turn ice into an opportunity. And this event is our signature event. So we're really hoping that people come out. Tickets are reasonable. We really want to be inclusive. I always said as a skater, I don't choose my audience. I want them to choose me, you know? And so, we're just open hand, you know, putting on an event that only we can do. No one else can do this because the nature of Nashville is a music city. I've been skating almost 50 years or longer. So, you know, it's just remarkable that we're able to do this. And I'm able to talk so many crazy people into coming here and you know, just sharing their talents in a really unique and powerful way.
No doubt about it. The Scott Hamilton and Friends Holiday Spectacular coming up on Sunday at Bridgestone Arena starting at 5 o'clock. Scott, if people want to get involved, what do they need to do? Where do they go?
Just come to scottcares.org. You know, we're doing a lot of cool things. We have an open hand sort of program called the 1984 Fund. This is the 40th anniversary of my big year. And so we do a 1984 fund where people can sign up and donate $19.84 a month. And they can just join us and be a part of our alliance, the Cancer Alliance for Research, Education, and Survivorship. That's what CARES means. And again, we are a very collaborative, very inclusive organization. And you know, we're taking on things that a lot of cancer foundations won't or can't or don't. And so we really feel like it's important that the city of Nashville joins us and we do this together. You know, Danny Thomas said, I'd rather get a dollar from a million people than $1 million from one person. I'm not that picky. You know, so anybody that wants to partner with us, come on and partner with us. Again, scottcares.org. If they want to get tickets, they can go to Ticketmaster or the Bridgestone Arena box office. And again, we just really want to fill the house and we want to show hope and strength and power in the storm and really just fund the next miracle. We've got so much on our plate right now and the more the merrier. And you know, it's really fun that we go, you know, for sponsors and for ticket holders of the dinner, we go from the Bridgestone Arena after the 5 o'clock show, we go over to the Omni and I'm not sure if there's anything left there, but that's where our bread is buttered, literally. We're able to do some really cool things at that dinner and really be inclusive. And it's remarkable. I'm just so proud of the Nashville community that they've gotten behind us this far. And I'm all about eight, so I believe that year eight will be a real defining moment for us and that people will come out and support this event I'm just really optimistic that with the funds that we raise in our signature event, that we'll be able to really make a huge impact in the cancer community, continuing impact in the cancer community. And I have to be honest, this has been a tough year, you know, with the election and the nature of, you know, this past election. It's just been remarkable that it's been hard to get on people's radar. And so, you know, I'm just pushing to the finish line, everything attached to the show. And I really hope that people will support us and they'll support themselves in this because no one to this point is immune to cancer. We're hoping to change that. And so we can only do that with people coming out and supporting us. I wish I could just write a check and make the whole thing happen. But, you know, as a retired male figure skater, you know, it's kind of, I could do a lot of things, but, you know, the main thing we can do is create our own army. And once we create our army large enough and broad enough and wide enough and high enough, we're going to be able to take this thing on in a really cool way and change it forever.
No doubt about that. Well, looking forward to the event coming up on Sunday. Scott, appreciate so much your time this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
I can't wait. Thank you guys for having me on. I know this is valuable real estate, and I'm really grateful for it. And hopefully we'll see you guys out there. Bring your families. It's
Absolutely.
A great family event. It really is.
Yep, our pleasure. Absolutely. Sure. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Scott Hamilton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show, the Scott Hamilton and Friends Holiday Spectacular coming up on Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. If you need more information on that, reach out to us on our text line. We'll be happy to connect you to that as well. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Take more of your thoughts, a lot more of your thoughts to get to on our text line on Will Levis, on the Vikings fan infiltration of the building on Sunday. A lot more coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Dennis on the text line. Scott Hamilton is awesome. We would agree. Scott Hamilton, very awesome. Appreciate him taking time to be with us here on the program. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Daniel to the program. Daniel, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up?
What's up?
Hey, so I know this is kind of late in the discussion, but earlier this morning on my way to work, I was listening to you guys talk about how we have a whole crew of fan bases that I like to come to Nashville, watch the Titans games, or, you know, flood our stadium in terrible towels and whatever. So I think a lot of that is, one, we're a military community, so you're going to have fans from everywhere. And two, Nashville is a hot spot. So, for example, my wife and I, we went to the Buffalo Bills game a few years ago when we won Monday Night Football. Josh Allen was stopped at the one-yard line, so on and so forth. The amount of Bills fans that were there and the amount of people I heard talk about just being in Nashville in general was like, it made more sense. Like, wow, no wonder why we have all these Pittsburgh fans. And, you know, we're not very far from Pittsburgh. We're only 8 hours, you know. So I can see why we get a lot of different fan bases come here. It's Nashville.
Yeah.
Nashville's a hot city. And we, like, me and my wife, we're always in Nashville. We go to games every year, you know.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Daniel. Appreciate it. I mean, I think he hit on a lot of it there. I mean, there's, we talked about this, not only the people that want to come here, the people that live here now, right? Like, I mean, there's just a lot of reasons for it. This year, again, the amount of Minnesota fans that were in the building on Sunday, the amount of Green Bay fans that were here earlier in the year, you know, Green Bay a little bit less so because it was, you know, three games into the season at that point. But Sunday, I mean, you're a 2-7 football team heading into it. You're a 2-7 football team with not a lot of excitement around it. I understand Titans fans not wanting to go, like not wanting to show up and watch their team play when the winning is just not happening right now. I guess my point and my question is, what's it going to look like moving forward? We all know that eventually you're going to have to win football games if you want your fans to show up on a consistent basis. I get that. Is this going to be something that just lingers with the Titans organization where that stadium, maybe it's not like Sunday, but there's always a healthy contingent of opposing fans in the stadium. Is that going to be what it is for the most part moving forward? And are Titans fans okay with that? Like, does that bother Titans fans? Because we have heard from a few Titans fans today that it does bother an awful lot as they kind of view that.
Yeah, look, I think there's, again, in this league, you know, teams have great years, and everybody has, you know, different tiers of fan bases. Those tier one Cowboys fans selling out to the tier five Texans fans the other night. But, you know, if your team is having a great year, then like those people are going to go to different stadiums and they're going to get in.
Yep.
They will get in. It's not necessarily because the home fans are selling out. They're buying from ticket brokers. I mean, like, they will get in. So, like, you'll all, and again, Nashville is definitely, I think, going to make it more prevalent, and the Titans' smaller and younger fan base, younger as in just in time of existence as a fan base. All those factors are going to make this more of a visiting presence type place than a lot of other places around the league. I don't think that's changing. But again, to me, you go through the good years that they just had and the height of, you know, you're 19, 20, 21, when you're talking about division titles and playoff wins and a one AFC championship game run and a number one seed another year, I don't think there was ever a problematic scene at that stadium. There were some – the Bills fans had maybe a quarter of the stadium 50%. One night. Sure, 60, 70. You know, they had maybe a quarter of the stadium one night, and that makes a difference. You can hear them. And there were some other games, too, where, you know, they were prevalent. I mean, someone on the text line just said, talk about a takeover was the Eagles. That wasn't a takeover. They had a lot of people, but they didn't. The takeover has to be more than 50%, right? Can we agree on like the terms? Doesn't takeover mean that you have to have more people than the home fans?
I mean, I guess. I mean, look, if you're a road team and you're getting 40% of the stadium, that's a pretty darn big chunk to
it be
in a road stadium.
Yeah, but you're still technically less than 50%, you haven't taken it over,
yeah.
Right? I mean, it's significant. I don't know, and I don't think the Eagles had that many at all. I'm just saying, yeah, that was one of those where you definitely notice the opposing fans. And like you said earlier, it's like, seriously, the colors of the opposing team, that it matters in this. Like, it's easier to tell sometimes and harder to tell other times. But my point, to me, and people can disagree with me if you want, but during that whole stretch when they were good, you know, you noticed them at times, but it was never, to me, like an embarrassing scene for the Titans.
Right.
That Monday Night Football game when Derrick Henry had the long run, I mean, that place was absolutely up for grabs, which would have been really tough if the Bills had half the fans in the building. That's pretty amazing. Just really, really loud. Maybe they did like Neyland Stadium piping in the noise. The place was an amazing atmosphere. And so
you're going to make Vols fans mad on top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
If you got to be able to live with that, to me, moving forward. But right now, with this product,
yeah.
I mean, this is exactly what the Titans deserve.
I would agree. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to Stillman & Company today from 2 to 6 for your chance to win Jelly Roll tickets for his performance at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, November 26th. Jelly Roll tickets contest supplied by Chiba Hut Subs, serving up dank food and chill vibes, now open in Donelson. Make sure you check that out later today on Stillman & Company. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Now, by the way, Dennis on the text line bringing up a good point says, I see other teams' fan bases pat themselves on the back before taking over downtown Nashville the night before a game. Like local Titans fans are going to hang out downtown. This is from Dennis on the text line.
We own this place!
that is always funny to me.
It's a like, place just for you.
You're like, the Bills fans have taken over Broadway. And it's like, yeah, most Titans fans are avoiding that at all costs.
Right.
The night before the game.
Yeah, it's like, this is where we want you to come spend all your money. We'll be elsewhere. Thanks.
Yes.
It's you and, you know, some 19-year-olds with fake IDs and Kid Rock's friends.
Yeah.
Congrats. Enjoy.
Congrats. Enjoy. Alex says, no one wants to sell their tickets against a good team if they also think their team will be good. People sell their tickets to big games before the year if they think the team's going to be bad, and they'll sell them more. This is from Alex on the text. I mean, look, I would imagine with the home schedule this year, when you saw in the, you know, Green Bay is coming, Minnesota, you know, Minnesota I think is having a better year than most of us anticipated with Sam Darnold as a starting quarterback, which I'm sure led to some of that on Sunday with the attendance there. But I don't doubt, like, there are some Titans fans that look at the schedule before the season and is like, yeah, there's probably an opportunity for me to make a few bucks for this game here or there.
No, that happens a lot of places. It's like, if I sell this to this fan base because there's so much demand, the prices will be, then I'm good. The rest of the year, I'm good. That happens. It happens in a lot of places. So is it the is this the whole stupid tier crap? Is it it's because, like, it's a bit more embarrassing because Minnesota is not some amazing fan? Is that the idea?
I guess.
Tier 3? They took over your stadium.
I guess so.
Tier three. Minnesota has, I mean, I don't know where Minnesota ranks, but they've they've got a big fan base. They've
it's
been
a fun
there
skull
forever.
Trip. Yeah.
I mean, they're having a good season. I'm sure some of those people live here and some came, but again, Nashville is, I mean, I guess I could look at the Minnesota schedule. Where else are they going to go? You know, if they're not going to go to one of the NFC North places, you know, Nashville is just a draw. This is a good thing. It's just sometimes a bad thing if your football team's bad.
Yes. And again, this season, it is what it is. Brian Callen had said this. When you're 2-8, you got to win some games if you want your fans to show up, right? Like, look, we hear from Titans fans every Monday. There hasn't been a whole lot of winning going on this year. And I do think some level of apathy has started to creep in. Now, I don't think it's like panic levels of apathy yet, because quite frankly, a lot of people have gone from angry to apathetic, and now they're looking at the draft and they're like, okay, cool, we'll just go get the new quarterback coming up. So I think that's happened with a lot of people too. But when you're 2-8, I mean, a scene like Sunday is to be expected. We've had multiple people ask this question, like, what's worse, opposing fans filling the stadium or empty seats? Like, what would be worse if you're the Titans at that point? I mean, I don't really know what the answer to that is. I guess empty seats, but.
Yeah, the Titans, I mean, well, they'd rather have people in there buying their beer.
Sure.
So, but there's also there is definitely a.
Aesthetic?
Yeah, there's just a ghost town feeling of like, wow. It says apathy more if you have an empty stadium, right?
I would agree.
Whereas, even if it's all Vikings fans screaming, at least there's noise and people. Yeah. It's still a party.
It was a popular
right?
stadium
yeah.
Sunday for some people. I do, though, like, you know, we talk about the new stadium coming all the time, right? Like, the new stadium's coming. They're trying to sell that. And I think moving forward, like, there's going to be, at least temporarily, I know for me, like, I'm looking forward to the new stadium from the standpoint of I want to see the new stadium. I want to see what it's like on the inside. I think there are a lot of Titans fans that are curious about that and are going to want to go to that. I think around the league, you see new stadiums open up and people want to go. Like, people wanted to go to SoFi when it opened up.
Yeah.
People want to go. I mean, Minnesota, they got a beautiful stadium mm-hmm. that they just opened up a few years ago. People wanted to go to that. So I think it's naturally a draw, at least for a little while, and then you got to start winning some football games and being good, and that wears off pretty quickly, I guess is what I'm saying, the newness of it. So you got to have more than that if you're the Titans moving forward into 2027.
Yes. Tommy says, just get ready for that new stadium. With those high prices, we're going to be just like the Raiders, stadium full of the other team, because most can't afford it. We're just a tourist city now. Again, if the product's good, then I think you're going to have a good atmosphere. If the product's bad, then, yeah, then ownership is like, well, at least it's a tourist city. Someone else says thousands of tickets are available to buy through online sales, far from just ticket resellers.
Agreed.
Yeah, oh, from resale. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, bad teams around the NFL, you can go. Now, I will tell you, you can go look at the secondary market for Lions-Colts Sunday. Because Lions fans seriously are like trying to take over every stadium. It's like insane. It's not because Colts fans are so excited about the win over the Jets. The prices are absurd. But most places where, especially like bad teams, the Colts right now have a shred of hope after that win.
Sure.
Bad teams, there's the ticket resellers, and then there's just all kinds of people who are just putting it up there like, hey, you know, I got something better to do. I mean, you're going to spend a lot of money by going. Be on top
no doubt.
Of it,
yeah.
Right?
Parking,
and the
food.
Parking thing now is another factor here that's a pain in the butt, and the fans come here and they're just going to stay downtown or Uber or whatever. They don't care about that, but
exactly.
The people who live here do.
Yeah. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Dude, I don't know what world we live in where when you can park for $100, it's pretty good. Like that's where it's at now, man. Like around the stadium, it used to be like $30 as soon as you get off, you could park next to Shoney's and walk it. Now those days are long gone. Here's my thing, and Robbie, I think you drilled it, dude. I went from okay, we're kind of snake bit when you see how the first two games went to we have a dumb quarterback to apathetic is the perfect word where I was just like, I've never cared less about this team in my life. And now I'm to the point where I'm like, okay, he actually looks decent the last couple of games. I saw Deion's kid, who I was all in for Deion's kid, act crazy towards the ball boy. Now I don't want him. And so now I'm back to like, okay, get Levis a tackle and get him Hunter or get him a playmaker and trade back and actually fix the whole team. So that's where I'm at, dude. Like, I'm like, I want to see progression from Levis while we lose football games. That's where I'm at. And so I don't – does that mean I haven't sold a couple of games? No, it doesn't, dude. Like, honestly, you gotta figure out a way to make yourself even at the end of the day. And I'm not apologetic for it. I think a lot of Titans fans aren't apologetic for that. If it was something to see, we'd all be there seeing it. You know what I mean? That's where I'm at.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate
it. That's fair.
Yeah.
And again, when your team's good, a huge game, rival coming in, and you sell out to the rival, you know, the other fans have a right to be mad at you. Other than that, you got nothing to apologize for.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Final thoughts on the day for the Titans coming up next. A lot of you weighing in on the text line. We appreciate that. We'll get to more of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tomorrow, your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with us tomorrow morning at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Over the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Adam in Portland getting called out by Kevin in Florida on the text line. Says, Adam in Portland sounds like one of many fans who only like the Titans when they're winning. Not very loyal unless the wins come in. Too much win now mentality or they jump ship. This is from Kevin in Florida on the text line.
Yeah, I'm going to have to side with Adam in Portland. I mean, look, man, Adam in Portland has spent his hard-earned money on the Titans. And so when the product comes in so below hope and expectations, I can't call someone a fair-weather fan for, like, helping themselves financially out of that. Not at all. I mean, it's just, look, it's the whole, I mean, we haven't even talked about the, you know, another part of this, which is just the ridiculousness of going to sporting events now and how geared everything is toward, frankly, rich people. I mean, it's really hard for a lot of people to be able to go to these games, you know, and I know that college and pro teams, they have like family packages and things like that. But, I mean, it is very different. And so atmospheres have suffered, and a lot of this stuff happens way more often now. And it's just how it is. And when they get into this new place, it'll be gorgeous. It'll be awesome in some ways. But, again, more and more it's about luxury accommodations for people with ample extra income that most people don't have.
Well, by the way, like, I don't blame the NFL and the Titans and every other organization building new stadiums. I don't blame them for going that way, because we've talked about the other side of this too. It's not just, you know, the opposing fan base coming in, but like for somebody like me who loves watching the NFL, loves watching football, you know where I really love doing it? My house. Really like it. And I think a lot of people with the television experience being what it is with the NFL, like, it's a lot more enticing for me to be able to sit at home and be able to go to my bathroom whenever I need to, or go get something out of my refrigerator whenever I need to, rather than stand in line to do all these things and end up paying $25 for an average at best meal. Like, a lot of people love the television product of the NFL. That's why the TV ratings are what they are. Yeah, it's a popular sport. It's also a very TV-friendly sport to watch. So when you're building these new stadiums, you got to have some things that attract people to come there. That's kind of the catch-22 of the whole thing.
Exactly. Right, so if you have a good product, people will be there for sure. And again, people will be there from other fan bases or people who just want to check it out. And also a stadium like this, you're going to bring Final Fours, and you're going to bring other things. You're going to bring a Super Bowl and things like that because you have the stadium. So there's value in that. But it is. It's really hard. You have to really give people a reason now to not do what you just said. Because the product's great on TV, and And, you know, I mean, yeah. It's just – and if it's not good in the stadium at the time, then it's an easy choice.
One texter says, ownership is more about making money than caring about local fans. Sure, Amy wants to win games, but there was a, quote, Minnesota-style hot dog being sold in the lower bowl on Sunday.
How dare they?
My wife's parents were talking about how good it was when we came down to visit them at halftime. The Titans have actually gotten to the point where they blatantly market to away fans. Not saying I wouldn't do the same thing, but it's sad. This from an unnamed texter on the text line. I was not aware of the Minnesota-style hot dog. Don't frankly know what that is. But
what the hell is that?
Would be interested to find out.
An icicle on a bun? I need to know. Come here, Vikings fans. You're going to eat this hot chicken, and you're going to like it. It's all you're going to get.
You guys got any Cracker Barrels up there in Minnesota? Got a few down here.
And to be clear, the first sentence, ownership is more about making money than caring about local fans. Yes, we can all agree on that. Like, let's not – there's no illusions there, okay? They are absolutely more about that than caring about local fans.
But Amy does want to win.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we're taking it too far if we're like, she doesn't care. No, she wants to win. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to winning, okay?
Like, money's part of that.
Yeah, yes. And also, I mean, look, like, she's a public figure who I know pays attention to things that are written and said about her. I know that for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you don't want to be known as one of the worst owners in this NFL. You probably hate most of the other guys, you know? I mean, how could you not?
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to win. She wants to win.
Apparently cream cheese on the Minnesota-style hot dog.
What?
I don't know what that means.
We need to spend a show tomorrow on that garbage. Cream cheese on a hot dog?
Which one's worse, cream cheese or ketchup on a hot dog in your mind?
It's close, actually. I might actually pick cream cheese. Measuring cheek size.
That does it for us today here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.